And it's Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock Mountain Time, means that's time for another Tom and Shane video. And happy to have you along with us. Thanks for joining us. And well, we got a big topic today. We're going to revisit climate change. Are we doomed, Shane? Do we only have 12 years left? Is that where we're headed? Is this an extinction level event? What's going on?
Well, we are basically in an extinction level event. There's been five of them. We're going to go through a lot of context. This is a podcast of the ages because the science hasn't been followed on this, and people in politics setting policy with global warming refuse to acknowledge it. What's strange is all the scientific evidence we're going to talk about today, geologists and science and anthropologists, they're not discussing. So we're going to.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. We've got to do this, you know?
Yeah. So let's get started with some context. Right. There's been basically, 4 billion years since the universe was born and, 2.5 billion years since the Earth sort of came around and started to become a planet and matured because we're in a sweet spot, the Goldilocks spot from the sun. So the first extinction event was the Ordovician Silurian mass extinction, which occurred 443 million years ago, and it wiped out 85% of all species. A lot of scientists believe from their drilling and studies that temperatures plummeted and huge glaciers formed, which caused the sea levels to drop dramatically, like 350 feet. This was followed by a period of rapid warming, and many small marine creatures died out then. The Devonian mass extinction took place 374 million years ago and killed about 75% of the world's species. Most of them were marine invertebrates that lived at the bottom of the sea, the flat ones that we've all seen in rocks. This was a period of many environmental changes, including global warming and the rise of sea levels and the reduction in oxygen and carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. They're not sure what caused it or triggered it, but they think that oxygen and carbon dioxide had a big part. The Permian mass extinction, where you hear about a lot in the oil industry about the Permian drilling done in the United States for gas in particular, happened 250 million years ago. It was the largest, most devastating of the five extinctions, and geologists refer to it as the Great Dying, eradicated 95% of all species, including most of the vertebrates, which had started to evolve. Some scientists believe that it was a large asteroid that caused it. Others believe that it was volcanic explosions and an increased carbon dioxide. So it is either a result of massive dust in the air or, volcanic ash. The fourth was the Triassic mass extinction 200 million years ago. It eliminated 80% of Earth species, and including what we all know of as the dinosaurs. And it was caused by colossal geological activity, which, volcanoes shifting of plates on the planet, which increased carbon dioxide levels and global temperatures. So the last, of course, was the Cretaceous mass extinction, and it occurred 65 million years ago, killing 78% of all species, including the remaining non-Aryan dinosaurs. And it was most likely caused by an asteroid, we all know about that, in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. So that's the context of what we're dealing with. The next thing I want to cover is quaternary glaciation. And the reason this is important is because we're at the tail end of this last glacier period. And the Northern Hemisphere, when this started, was covered by a giant sheet of ice. And it was like 2.5 miles thick, 2.5 miles thick. And it equated the global seas of dropping 390 feet. That's why the England was open to Europe, because, there was a crossing there. And, Alaska was open to Siberia because the dropping of the waters, which allowed, man to move around the planet a lot easier. So the important thing about this reality is that this giant shield is what created all the Great Lakes in North America. And it also created the isthmus in what's known today as Istanbul, because when it melted off, it raised the seas in the world over 400 feet, and water started spilling over that isthmus there into the Black Sea, which created the Black Sea. So these are all natural events. And the reason the ice ages are so important is because of the periods that they have occurred, and that they've been basically caused by greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, and ozone. Scientists aren't in any argument about this. The Holocene period, you know, which is 11,650 years ago, preset after this glacier period, till today, where, you know, it's melting off. So, you know, we need to understand and appreciate that, you know, from all the way from upper parts of Quebec all the way down to the, you know, the Midwest in the United States, and right down to New York City, which was, you know, under 7,200 feet, a mile and a half of ice. I mean, can you imagine a mile and a half on Long Island? Boy, those guys in the Hamptons wouldn't be happy with this one. No. So, you know, that's the effect that glaciers can have, particularly when they start melting and they move and they grind up the planet. So the last glacial maximum that we know took place is 33,000 years ago. And it's been, you know, basically dumbing down, you know, slowing down, and the melting is occurring. Now, the science behind all this, it's so important. Now, this is where we get to, and I finished my rant, and I'll have done it less than 10 minutes, and the whole world now can get the story and the truth. This isn't theory. This is pure science, and we've talked about it. It's called the modern minimum. Now, back in the 1600s, the 17th century, scientists, basically people were looking at the sky, so to speak. You know, we're watching the sunspots on the sun. And 4 years of sunspot observation, not theory, science fact, has shown as a reduction in sunspots has caused a cooling of our planet. Now, why is that? Well, because of the ionosphere. The ionosphere covers and protects our planet from radiation. And when a sunspot occurs, it throws out a bunch of energy and radiation to the solar system. And when it comes in contact with Earth, it warms up the ionosphere. So if it warms up the ionosphere then in turn warms up the planet, which I'll get to in a minute. But Edward Walter and his wife, Anne Russell Bonner, 1851 to 1928, and she was 1868 to 1947, picked up on this information of a 28-year period between 1672 and 1699, when there were fewer than 50 sunspots. This contrasted, typically there's 40 to 50,000 sunspots in the modern times that we see today. So it's a proven fact of science. John A. Eddy in 1976, composed an article and published it in Science. And the modern minimum allowed, and we experienced in 1645 to 1750, what's known as the Little Ice Age. So to finalize this, our atmosphere is made up of the troposphere, the stratosphere, the mesosphere, the thermosphere, and the exosphere. The ionosphere basically is above all of these, and basically is made up of the mesosphere, the thermosphere, and the exosphere. And all of these have everything to do with weather, the cooling and heating of the planet, as I've explained. And that's why, because of the incredible upper atmosphere that our planet has, we have this great protection. And ozone becomes an important aspect of this, because there is an ozone layer in there. And ozone is produced by electrical charges from lightning bolts, which occur over a million daily around the planet. And that ozone, it also has a lot to do with protecting the gases on the planet. So, folks, the bottom line to my rant for 10 minutes is that this whole idea of greenhouse gas and man propagating a change in the planet is it's just a nomer. It's falsehood. The planet goes through this process over its lifetime, and it will continue. Nothing to worry about for 50,000 years, because that's basically the realm of what geologists and anthropologists are looking at for some major event. To finalize, just a point of reference, the only two known species that have survived in the last 400 million years are crocodiles and sharks. Amazing. So here we are, you know, 1.4 billion into the planet's life, and some animals have survived a very long time.
Yeah, we're still here.
Yeah, that's right.
I heard the other day they finally found out how long sharks live. They live to be about 70, in their 70s. Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
They can live a long time. And, yeah. You know, they only discovered a 6-gill shark in Seattle 30 years ago that floated to the surface. The scientists didn't even know there was one. And they're about the same size as a great white shark, but, you know, they circle around on the bottom. They're bottom feeders.
Yeah. All right. There we are. Well, you know, this thing goes on and on and on, and I haven't heard AOC ranting about it much lately. When the COVID hit and we all stopped driving and they shut everything down, we should have got another couple years.
We did.
Yeah.
To give you an idea how powerful the atmosphere is that when they shut everything down back in 2020, 2021, mm-hmm. it took less than 3 months for the entire atmosphere, the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere, to clear.
Yeah.
So when AOC gets elected, 2018, and says we had 12 years left, we're 4 years into her supposed idea about this. But, you know, she's just, you know, followed the idiocy of a vice president and scientists that are, you know, they're just trying to create more science funding. And they're also trying to create, you know, a policy that the government couldn't enact. And then along comes COVID, and that changed everything. But, you know, because of COVID, they've been able to do a lot of things to try and convince people still. But even that science, it's not been talked about, that, you know, how the planet cleared itself. And, you know, a lot of the stuff I talked about today is from the Natural Museum history. You can go on sites of geology, and you can go on sites about sunspots, and it's all out there. All the science is out there, and it's science. It's not theory. It's fact.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, hey, don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified of when we have another podcast. Like us and leave a comment. YouTube and Facebook both put a lot of stock in your comments, and we would like to hear them as well, what you think of what we're doing here. And I should also mention we're brought to you by StreamYard, and there's a link in the description below. They have a free version of this, and as well as the version that we use. And if you'd like to support the show monetarily, there's a lot of benefits for doing that. And all those benefits are in a link in the description below. Well, one of the things I know, Shane, is that New York Harbor has been around since New York has been around, I guess, for a couple hundred years, I guess. And they've measured the water there because you got to get boats in and out of the harbor. And there's been virtually zero change in water levels over the last 150 years, I guess, that they've been keeping these things. And as I've always said, I don't see any sales on Miami Beach property or Hawaii or whatever. Even Obama.
How about Martha's Vineyard? Yeah, Vineyard.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Obama built a big deal, you know, right on the water. And so I don't know. I guess if these things are going to happen, let's look at some comments we've got. Bruce says, yes, Jesus is coming. Will rid the earth of all evil? Yes, he will. And revelations, I guess, according to John. Yeah, well, I would put more stock in that happening, I guess, than I would that we're... that, you know, the things are going to rise. You know, one thing I would tell you to do, take a glass, fill it full of ice, fill it full of water up to the edge. When the ice melts, let me know when the glass overflows. Okay.
Which of course it doesn't. And,
no.
You know, Tom's trying to be humorous here. And no. You know, it's a wonderful reality that we live in, because, you know, drilling, as a practical way of removing gas and oil from the planet, and the Howard Hughes company that created the drill bit back 120 years ago, it's resulted in being able to create cores. And these cores are what scientists, geologists, and anthropologists have looked at now for 120 years to make these determinations. Archaeologists have been finding the remnants of all these ages we've spoke about today in different places, you know, in stones, principally sandstones and other soft rock. So again, there's unending science, but oddly enough, none of these people, and we're talking about not just hundreds of thousands, we're talking about well over 1 million people around the planet in anthropology, geology, archaeology, you know, and in sciences of drilling, and the whole issue about oil, which, by the way, let us all remember, saved the whales. If it wasn't for oil, the whales probably would have gone extinct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They used whale oil for all sorts of things.
That's
back,
right.
Back in the day before we got.
Yeah. And that's only 200 years ago. So, yeah. Wow.
Well, and also, as I've said, alternative fuels are going to come, but they're going to come in their own good time. You know, we had to, Alexander Graham Bell didn't work on texting the day after he got the phone done. You know, I mean, we had to go through a process of evolution of these various products. Right now, the alternative fuels of wind and solar and all of that are price prohibitive with our current technology. Now, when they get a solar panel the size of a dime that will produce the same energy that one does the size of a Buick, we'll have something going. But until that happens, and it will eventually, you know, I'm confident that electricity will be broadcast into your house just like we are today on this program. So,
well, that's right. Look, 80%, 90%, 80 to 90% of everything you walk through every day is produced from oil. And oil is the great equalizer for the world. There's 7.5 billion people. It's going to grow over the next 60 years to, you know, probably close to 9 to 9.5 billion. And petrochemicals are required for everything that we use. So we got to find, as you have said, something to run planes, trains, and automobiles other than oil or gas, because mm-hmm. it's essential. Yeah. The planet has a warehouse of oil and gas, but it's going to be needed for, you know, people's daily lives, for our species to survive.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't like plastic, your car is going to be about 90% gone.
Yeah, and if you don't like oil, you couldn't ride a bike. Okay,
yep.
Especially with those tight pants on, because it's all made sure. from oil. Everything on a bike, with exception of the metals, are made from oil. There you go.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, this fear of everything, oh my God, we've got to do something. We've got to we've got to force everything to stop. We've got to, it's like dumping oil into the Gulf. You know, we're trying to change the ecosystem, the natural system of progress. And whenever we do that, there's unintended consequences as far as the eye can see.
That's right. And the science is happening. We have suggested to people go read about Star Technologies in Australia. They have a product called Hero. They're trying to get the governments of the world to approve it, but they all keep putting blocks up. And it takes seawater, turns it into electricity, and unlimited, with the hydrogen separated from the oxygen. So the byproducts are water and unlimited energy. But it's such a hard situation politically and economically, because right now the tie-in for the global economy, you know, is gasoline and gas. And, you know, we again, you have to be careful. Electric cars are great. AI, artificial intelligence, is great. But there's not enough electricity produced to run these millions and millions of electric cars, unless you want blackouts, you know, like 4 or 5 hours a day, you don't have any electricity. I guess if you'd rather drive your car to work than have electricity, you know, whatever you want, baby.
Yeah, that'll work. Well, plus our electric grid is overblown. Well, it's what, 110%, I think.
That's right.
Whatever.
You're right.
You know, and a lot of that comes from Canada, on the East Coast, at least. So,
and on the West Coast, you know, we have a great situation here with all the power we produce from dams. And we produce, you know, we provide 30% of the electricity, Washington, Oregon, and California. So that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, speaking of dams, the dams they put on the Mississippi River altered the rotation of the earth.
You know, because that's right.
They had a weight distribution there. So, you know, as I say, anytime we start doing these things, there are unintended consequences that pop up. You know, thankfully, whatever alteration of the earth was pretty minor, you know, but still.
Well, yeah, the planet we live on is incredible. When you look at the ocean in the sky, and the ocean's in, you know, 70% of the planet's water, and you have two high tides a day with that, all that shifting around the planet, you know, shifting on the shift, you know, the weight on the plates that we know exist, you know, it's a miracle every day that there really isn't some, you know, incredible geological event that has happened in the past, like volcanoes. You know, there was a couple of volcanoes in the Southeast Pacific in the last 10 years that have gone off and created more CO2, you know, in the air than all the cars in the world. So, yeah, the planet and the Mother Nature will have their way, whatever they decide it might be, because it could happen.
It's capable of cleaning us off the planet if it wants, though.
That's right. And we didn't even discuss the polar axis and gravitation. I mean, that's a whole nother story. You know, there's been at least 7 shifts in the polar axis of the planet. And scientists are convinced this isn't something that took time. I mean, they think at least 5 of these shifts, like, literally occurred instantly. Like, all of a sudden, the planet just turned.
Boom.
So during that period, whether it was 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. No gravity. You know, you look out. You might want to make sure you're tied down to trees at all times.
To something, right. That'd be pretty interesting. That would get the news media's attention, wouldn't it?
That's right. It would, because they'd all be on the roof of their studios, right? Maybe.
Well, I'm 90 miles from Yellowstone. You're in Western Canada. If Yellowstone blows, chances are you and I won't be here. So.
Well, not in 6 months, but, you know, it'll head east, and you know, it's a potentially super volcano, which will head east, but. You know, within 2 or 3 days, it would encircle the northern hemisphere and put it into an extinction event, cover it completely, shroud it in dust, lock the sun. 9 months, species of plants, animals, and even fish in the sea could be gone.
Yep. That would be probably the next. If Yellowstone blows, that would take care of North America, probably
all the northern hemisphere. The entire northern hemisphere. Europe, Russia, you know, India, the United States, Canada, Asia, China, Japan. I mean, all of it, you know, 9 months gone. Unless, you know, the wealthy moved, of course, south to Australia.
Yeah, I was going to say, All right. Well, I think we've covered this pretty extensively, Shane. Thanks for all the information. Yeah. And hopefully, what are your thoughts? Leave us a comment below as to what you think. Is this should we be making out our wills because it's over, or should we look to the future and say, hey, our kids and our grandkids will solve this problem, so no sweat. So what do you think, Shane?
Well, you know, the effort being made, you know, to move off the planet and go elsewhere isn't an answer, and the bottom line is, you think we'll all be here 1,000 years from now? I mean, we can't live with ourselves. I mean, yeah, come on. I mean, it's
we're our own worst enemy.
That's right. And you and I are best friends. And I want to thank you for letting me take the time to rant for 10 minutes on this, because it's on the record. It's here forever. So if it goes viral, that would be great, because it's the truth.
Yeah. So there you are. All right. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Hey, everybody, thanks for watching. Hey, don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. Like us, because comments are important. They put a lot of stock in those. So we will see you on Thursday, same time, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Until then, bye for now.